think about it, pound for pound, I bet Nintendo cardboard costs more than gold.
Probably.
Because cardboard's very, very, very light. Can you do the sums on that for us, please?
I'll just take your word for it.
A gram of gold versus a gram of Castlevania 64. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of 30-something Gamers. Boxy, I've got some news and statistics to throw at your face. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I can't believe it's Episode 10. It feels like we've only just started this series.
I know, and you know what that means? This mainline episodes is our 20th episode.
Oh, wow.
And if we include our useless microtransactions, this is Episode 29.
Oh, well, that's a little bit disappointing.
I
thought you were going to say a nice rounded number.
Well, I can't make numbers up. The next one, Useless Mind Transition, will be 30. Anyway, let's get back, because we can't count them as episodes. So, do you know what episode 20 means?
What does it mean?
Can I spit some facts for you? Spit some stats?
Go for it.
Get all those Excel geeks wet. Okay, you ready? Approximately, only 10% of podcasts make it past episode 3. So as soon as you've got 4 episodes of a podcast, you are in the top 90% of podcasts. And then from that 10%, only 10%, or 1% of the original total, make it to episode 20. So we are in the top 2% of podcasts in the world. If we manage to not bray the shit out of each other this episode and make it to episode 21, we are in the top 1% of podcasters by sheer will.
Well, this is the perfect time to announce my retirement.
Well, you know, it just goes to show it doesn't matter whether you have no creativity, no quality at all. If you just keep banging your head against the wall, eventually you will make it up that greasy pole. And we're at the top of that greasy pole for no reason. We have no right to be there, but we're up there with greasy hands and big smiles.
It staggers me that people don't even make it past episode 3. Like, you think you're starting a podcast, you come into it thinking you're going to have a lot to talk about, and then what, after 3 hours, you've got nothing else to say.
But we have had nothing to say for the last 27 episodes, but I feel like people think, right, this is the modern generation, it's the now generation. People do a podcast, and when they get to 3, if they're not getting like hundreds of listens, they just go, nah, I give up.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, and we're going very slow. Steady? I don't know. I mean, the episode I did on my own, that was quite steady. But apart from that, shower of shit.
It'll be interesting if this does ever properly take off, and then we're under a lot more scrutiny, and we might have to review old episodes and start editing the fuck out of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, enjoy these episodes now, because they will probably be taken down if we ever got a bigger listener base at all. Just to save ourselves from getting sacked, imprisoned, sponsors never touching us. But enjoy them now. Now, your review thing last week, you just absolutely went at the lovely listener, and I just don't think it was warranted. And
it was a nuclear attack.
It was. And
I mean, we don't really know how that landed just yet because of how we're recording these sort of things. No. So people could be very angry.
They could be. They could be. And I thought, talking of a nuclear attack, it's like we planned this. You know what it is when I say that, we haven't actually planned it. I don't say go and say this and go and say that. We just, we're becoming is it a symbiotic relationship? Where it's like a hive mind? Or a symbiotic where one leeches off the other?
Yeah, that sounds more accurate. One encompasses the other one and suffocates them until they turn into something that they don't like anymore.
So that's the first thing I want you to comment. Which one of us in this symbiotic relationship is the one sucking the other one's life out like a dementor on ecstasy? But when I was thinking about betrayal's last microtransaction, there was one I was thinking of, and I still feel like you betrayed us when you left us. So
you stop banging on about it. That happened about fucking 2 years ago.
In your head, it's still fresh for me. The first cut is the deepest. Anyway, someone I was thinking about, a betrayal, but it didn't sit with me, it more shocked me, was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, yeah. Shepard.
Yeah, where Shepard takes you down. So I thought, to try and get a review from the listener this week, I would do a review plea in the form of, what is it? Is it Colonel Shepard? Is it Colonel Shepard?
Can you not do it in the style of Leomi from Full Metal Jacket?
No.
I'll rip your head off and shit down your fucking neck.
No, because it's more... I don't think I'm thinking of Colonel Shepard. Who do you play as with the big Tash? Not so McTavish. With a Tash.
I don't know. What, it's Call of Duty. I don't care.
This is when the games are really good. Why can't I think of them?
I don't know. While you ponder that, Tom, how tall are you?
6'3".
6'3"? I didn't know they stack shit that high.
Oh, God. Private Pyle. Captain Price, man. Sorry, so my plea for a review is in the form of Captain Price giving you I've given myself a direction of dramatic gravelly voice, but I don't know if I have dramatic gravelly voice.
Not in a northern accent.
So we'll try. Well, I like Price is a Cockney, so I have to go a bit Cockney. How fucking Cockney it hurts. Right, ready? You ever been pinned down in the middle of a podcast war zone? I have. The battlefield is chaos. Audio files corrupted. Co-hosts going AWOL. An episode schedules tighter than a claymore trap on veteran difficulty. But through all that, one thing keeps us fighting. One thing gives us purpose. Reviews. That's right, soldier. Your review could be the difference between victory and defeat. You leave a 5-star review on 30-something gamers, and you give us cover and fire. You give us morale. You give us the strength to keep pressing record, even when the Wi-Fi's down and the snacks, they're gone. So don't just sit there with your thumbs on your controller. Get to the digital front lines. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your fix. Drop that review like it's a hot LZ and remember, no one gets left behind. Except maybe Boxy. That man's gone dark. This is Captain Price signing off. Stay frosty. Leave that damn review.
Sounds more like Call of Duty.
Oh my God, did you sit that? I bet you sat that whole review, plea, not listening, just thinking of how you can call it shit at the end.
Full Metal football shirt.
I thought it was quite good. Stop it.
Is it right?
No, okay. It was all right. It was better than your tirade of shit last week.
I was really hoping that you were going to do it in the style of drill sergeants yelling at people.
If I'd wrote it like that, I could have, but I feel like there was too many parts that weren't like... Maybe next week, we'll see. Or maybe I need to leave the war a little bit, the war angle, and we'll come back to it later. Remind us to do one like that. So anyway, leave a review. That's just a way to pad out the podcast for an extra 5 minutes when all I'm asking is, leave a review. 5 stars would be really nice. It really helps push the podcast. And you can, if you do that, we might grow. We might get a bigger listener base. We'll delete those episodes we mentioned earlier off, and you can say, I was there. I heard those first episodes. I have ammo to cancel these two chances. So, yeah, do it. Anyway, let's get on to some video games. So going on to what I've been playing. Now, I took a sort of leaf out of your book, and I'm not going to talk about the same shit that I talk about every week, because I've been playing Clair Obscura and I've been playing Broken Sword, and I've already mentioned that I've been playing them a couple of weeks ago. Clair Obscura is still brilliant. Broken Sword, one of the best games of all time. I'm currently playing through it on stream because I fell flat on my arse on a dance floor and I can't hold a controller, so I'm using the PlayStation 1 mouse, which is quite good. I need to give me mouse ball a bit of a clean. But apart from that, it works surprisingly well. Have you ever used a PS1 mouse, Boxy?
I didn't even realise the PS1 had a mouse.
Yeah. Guess how many games work with the PS1 mouse? How many games have the functionality built in to use the PS1 mouse?
Is it something stupid like 5?
160. Over 160, I think it's around about 166.
What?
Yeah. Loads like your Command and Conquer, Broken Sword, Broken Sword 2, all your point and clicks, your Sim Cities, your Transport Tycoons. They all use that, and they're so much easier to use. But yeah, it's the first time I've properly used it, and I thought it was going to be really janky, but it's quite good. It's quite good.
Yeah, I saw some of your live around Broken Sword, and I can't believe the dated look of it all by now. I always thought Broken Sword was quite bored and not as old as I thought it was. But yeah, it took me back, the nostalgia. Yeah, fair play on using the old PlayStation mouse. And very rare I see people use it. I never hear about the PlayStation mouse, and I honestly forgot that it actually existed.
Well, I did originally buy it because I tried to play Command and Conquer on stream, and I'd played it on the PC when I was a kid, and I just couldn't do it with a controller. And the mouse doesn't work with Command and Conquer. I think this could be bullshit that I've made up, or I've just heard a half story and I made up a full story, that Command and Conquer did that badly. Or people complained that much about the controls that it was one of the reasons for the development of the mouse. So you can use it with Command & Conquer Red Alert and Command & Conquer Retaliation, but the original Command & Conquer, you can't use the mouse with. But anyway, I said I'm not going to talk about them, because what I'm going to talk about is what I'm doing. And by the time this podcast comes out, I will have done this. So are you ready, Boxy? In a few days' time, I'm going to be getting another world record.
What, a good one or a shit one?
I will be the slowest in the world on another game. I'm going to be doing a 12-hour stream. I'm going to start at 7 at night. Probably take us about, until the game's finished. I'm going to do Batman Arkham Asylum in one sitting.
12 hours?
Roughly around that. Not full collections or anything like that. Just start to finish all the way through.
But it's not too far off. Yeah. Well, that's about a 10-hour game, isn't it?
A 10 to 11, but including stop and talk and the chat and stuff like that, easily over that amount of time, add an extra hour or two on. Don't go into with your history or whatever and stuff like that. I'm a good gamer. I'm a very good gamer, right? I'm just going to go in, and that will be my fourth slowest in the world record.
Okay.
That Guinness World Record's coming. I'm telling you, those dominoes are falling.
You're failing upwards.
I'm failing
upwards.
That's the
phrase, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly what we're doing in this podcast, getting the top 1% by simply making 20 episodes. We are failing upwards.
Why Batman Arkham? That's quite a linear game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to choose like quite an open-ended game, and then you could really waste time with that?
Well, no, I'm not trying to waste time. Just by playing through the game, I will be the slowest in the world, because people who are speedrunners don't normally put runs in. So that I think the fastest run is like 2 or 3 hours. So there's no way I'm beating the game in 2 or 3 without any tricks or glitches or anything like that, or know what I'm doing. There's no way I'm going to beat that. So I don't have to drag it out. I basically knew I was going to do a stream for about 12 hours, so I just had to search for PS2, Xbox games around that time and then choose from there. It was going to be that or Bioshock. Bioshock would be a good one as well.
Quickly realising, Tom, that you are what's wrong with society.
What?
You want recognition for mediocrity.
It's not mediocrity.
It is, though.
By the time you rack it up, I don't know when I'm going to actually get in contact with Guinness and say, look, is this a record? But let's say it was 10. If every game's been 10 hours, that's like a stamina. I kept going. I've sat there, and I've got a lovely new chair as well. Thank you to my
community.
Oh, good,
one that you're not falling into.
Well, So again, thank you, my community are amazing. A package arrived at my door, and it was a new gaming chair, and all the community had put in some money. They were sick of us seeing us fall through chairs.
That's nice, isn't it?
It is really nice. But I was on playing Broken Sword last night, and there's a part, and you know that I've got ADHD, there's a part where all the Templars are talking to each other, and they're talking to each other quite a while. And I'm trying not to talk over it, because people are watching and might want to know what's happening. So obviously I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm playing with the new levers and stuff. Like, they say, oh, what does this do? And literally went from, like, sitting upright to flat horizontal. But because I just went, what's this lever do? And it was the back support. And the back went all the way back. But because of the momentum, I was shitting myself as I was going back. Because I thought, when it hits the bottom, my weight and momentum is just going to continue taking over. And the community have done an amazing thing, sort of putting in this for us. Thank you, everyone, again, who did it. And I'm going to have broken like, two streams in because of my ADHD just made me mess around with the lever. But it's not. It's absolutely fine. It took the impact when I hit horizontal.
That's a nice story.
It is. Lovely story.
Communities and coming together.
It is. It's honestly, they're amazing. I don't know. The proudest thing I've done from doing this for like 2 years or so now, two things is the community and the podcast. Like, I've done lots of other things and enjoy things, but the community I've built up is one of my proudest things because it's full of amazing people, and they look out for each other. They do stuff like this all the time, and it's just astounding. If you do want to join, you'll be able to find me Retro Revival online, and the Discord and everything's there. A lot of people come, and you notice a lot of the chatting from the Discord isn't always about games. Obviously, everyone's got that shared interest and stuff, but it's just in this shit world. I'm not what's wrong with society, Boxy. Fuck you. It's nice to have this nice little area of, like, I think there's about 80 people in there now who are just nice people and nice to each other online.
No, they are really nice, and they do give me a lot of support as well. So just thank you to those lovely people.
I have to pay them for that.
You do, yeah. I'll throw them a bone.
I need to try and make you bigger to help this podcast become bigger, so I just...
I'm very happy where I am. I'm just going back to why you're wrong with society. Yeah, the community thing's really good, you know. But the whole world record thing, you're like the kid who just wants his participation medal.
No, I hate participation medals. Be really good or really bad. Mediocrity is what's wrong with society. People want medals for mediocrity. Like, everyone remembers Eddie the Eagle. Everyone remembers... What was that that guy who's... I'm assuming it was around 2000, who was a swimmer in the Olympics, and he'd only ever swam in his river back in his country. Like, from like, he was, like, from Botswana or somewhere. I think they called him Eddie the Eel. I think a play on Eddie the Eagle. And he'd finish, like, 5-10 minutes above that. Ask me who won any swimming gold medal at Olympics. I can't tell you. But everyone likes that underdog story.
Yeah, but Eddie the Eagle is still a better ski jumper than I am.
Well, I'm a better gamer than you.
How do you know that?
Because I just do.
Well, you know, you've got nothing to... There's no evidence that proves that.
What evidence could I provide?
Games incredibly too long.
I've got evidence. I've got your, like, sort of spoken testimony when you talk about games and you talk about how you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, or it took you ages. I go, yeah, he's not very good.
Yeah, this is coming from the guy who played Elden Ring on a magic build.
Yeah, twice and got the platinum on it.
Yeah, but I'd say that's a cheating platinum if you ask me.
Nah.
I think the Elden Ring community would be quite upset by that.
Well, the Elden Ring community can suck my Dark Soul.
See, that's the type of, you know, thing that makes you a poser.
What?
One of these people who says, oh, I've got the platinum on Elden Ring. Strapline is, oh yeah, on a magic build. Well, that's not proper platinum, is it?
Yeah, it is.
I'd say you have your strengths in gaming and I have my strengths in gaming.
Do you though? Really? What's your strength?
I'm a fucking Souls person. I can play those games.
You know, you beat Souls games the same way we become the top 1% in the podcasting world.
You just
bang your head against the wall until you get past it.
That's what everyone does.
No, first time at me.
No.
Yeah.
That's the whole vibe of those games. Dying, 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 and just breaking the wall down bit by bit.
Maybe for you. Maybe I'll do Dark Souls speedrun, and I'll just got to pick like Dark Souls or Dark Souls 2. No, I've never played it before. Just do it in one run. Easy.
Tell you what, I would actually sit and watch your whole stream watching you do a Dark Souls live stream, and you can only stop until you finish the whole thing.
How long's the game?
If you're good at the game, then yeah, it would probably only take you about, I don't know, 10 hours.
I'll do it in 9.
Okay, take that bet. But if you factor in all the deaths and all the difficulty, it takes it to about a 30-hour game.
I can do that. I'm going for the eventually the longest stream ever, aren't I? So yeah, we'll just put Dark Souls in there.
Put Dark Souls
can
in.
I do like Bloodborne? I like the look of Bloodborne's aesthetic.
Yeah, do Bloodborne. Yeah, still bloody hard.
Nah, piss it. I will piss it.
Anyway, shall we move on?
Yeah.
Okay, it's that time again. All together now. Da 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 da. How am I supposed to know that?
I honestly think and hope some people actually joined in at home, were listening and joined in. Because we talk about Dan Cheddar from the Deer Pie podcast has left an lasting impression on us because we always mention him. When I hear his now at the start of his podcast, goes, "It's the Deer Pie podcast," and I join in every time. And I hope people join in with your little tune. That's when we've made it.
Well, I'll be happy with that. So yes, this is trivia. It's my favorite part of the podcast. It's where we find out whether Tom is a true gamer or whether he's one of these posers who thinks that Evil West is an unnecessary hate speech targeted at the Welsh. Today we are going to be looking at spiritual successors. Ooh. Do you know what a spiritual successor is, Tom?
Yeah,
go on then.
It's a successor to a game, but isn't actually like a numbered game or anything. So it's maybe the same studio, or maybe people from the studio left and made like another Castlevania game, but they can't call it Castlevania because Konami would have you by the Titan Curlies.
Wonderful. Lovely stuff. Yeah, I'll give that. That's.
What do you mean you give us it? It's the right answer. You don't give us it. I took it.
7 out of 10 response on that one, I would say. So yes, spiritual successors. I am going to be naming some games which are documented as being spiritual successors to other games made in the past. And all you have to do is say what it is inspired from. Sound easy?
So I'm seeing what... Right, okay, yes, yeah, I get it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with a very easy one. BioShock.
BioShock is the spiritual successor to System Shock. No?
Missing out a key part in that.
What do you mean a key part?
There's one thing you're missing. You've got it right, but there's
I've got it right.
Missing.
I've got it right.
It's System Shock 2.
Oh, wait. Oh, semantics. It's
not semantics. They're different games.
I'm taking the point.
Half a point.
No,
it's important because System Shock 2 is its own thing. So yeah. Okay.
But is that
Sleeping Dogs?
I think you've got dementia.
Why?
Because in the last couple of episodes, you've asked questions where we've already talked about it on the podcast. So I know the answer is True Crimes, Street of New York, the second one.
You know, you could have just kept your big mouth shut and just had the points. But no, seeing as you've got such a problem with this question, then let's scrub it. Your point.
No, because that wasn't even long ago. We were talking about... Well, we're talking about True Crime. We're talking about True Crime for some reason, and you actually said, we're talking about Sleeping Dogs in prequel, sequel, fecal, and you said it's a spiritual successor to that in there.
But you have a big problem with the question, so you can go fuck your shit. Right, next question.
Don't get angry at me because of the dementia.
You're not going to get this one. Okay. Fallout.
As in the original Fallout.
Yeah.
So the isometric one, you're not talking Fallout 3.
Nope, that's why I said Fallout.
All right. All right. He's always riled up now. Look at it. Look at the lead in his pencil.
Yeah, riding the wave.
Fallout. I feel like I've seen this, but I can't remember the name of the game. Am I getting a clue, or are you too angry to give us one?
You could guess. I suppose a clue is the name of this game is all about the vibe of Fallout.
A nuclear wasteland? Mm-hmm. Wasteland.
Wasteland.
Wasteland, yes. Yeah. Is there another... I know it was inspired that. Is there another game called Wasteland came out, like, recently? No?
I don't know. Wasteland's a very old game, though.
Yeah. Obviously, before like Fallout.
Late 80s or something.
That doesn't make it very old. Some things from the late 80s aren't really old.
Well, they are in terms of gaming.
Okay, in terms of gaming, things from the late 80s are very old.
People called retro revival. this next one surprised me. I didn't know this. Crysis.
Crysis? As in, can your computer play Crysis?
Crysis, yeah.
Yeah. Because Time Crysis came straight in my head rather than that one. Crysis. I didn't think this was inspired by anything. I've never played any of the Crysis games. I'm going to need a clue.
It's a really famous game. Ubisoft game.
Far Cry.
Groundbreaking when it first... Far Cry.
You know what? When Crysis first came... Like, when Crysis came to mind, I thought, that's... It's very, like, seems like it's inspired by Far Cry, but I just thought, like, they came out at the same time.
I thought they did as well. Yeah. Crysis is 2007 or something, and Far Cry is like 2005, maybe.
All right. So did Crysis only have a 2-year turnaround cycle?
I don't know. I mean, there's probably not much in it between them, but that one really surprised me.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. Dragon Age Origins.
Dragon Age Origins. Is Dragon Age Origins the first in the series?
Yeah, I think so. Or Dragon Age.
It's just quite strange to have Origins as your first. Do you know what I mean? Like, Origins is a word that you would bring out. Like, sort of, you've done three games. It's Origins. It's a pre-thingy game. Like, Arkham Origins and stuff. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it's not the first one. I'm just thinking it doesn't seem like a word you would use with your first game.
So Dragon Age Origins was the first one in 2009, and then it skipped the Origins and went straight and just said Dragon Age 2 for the next one.
Oh, right, okay. So Dragon Age, dragon-y fighty game, fight my dragon in, you said 2009?
Yeah.
Fable?
No, you're on the right sort of path, though.
Yeah. I think the big open world games and not The Witcher, surely not.
No, you're very close.
The Witcher 2.
Nope.
Not that close, then.
Not that close.
Witcher, Fable, I'm not sure.
Baldur's Gate.
If I'd kept thinking, again, I would have got that listener. I just saved you my umman and aran.
Yeah, it's a good excuse, isn't it?
I mean, I would have been like my 17th guess, so whether you class that as getting it or not, I don't know.
Okay, last one. Good luck with this one. Command and Conquer.
Command and Conquer. Syndicate?
Nope.
Warcraft? Dune?
No. I'll give you a clue. It was a film.
Dune?
Sorry?
Dune?
Yes.
I said that before you gave us the clue.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were just going...
I was just trying to think of old top-down RTS-type games.
Yeah, Dune 2, apparently.
Oh, I mean, you're not giving us it because it's Dune 2.
Yeah, but that one's quite hard. I mean, Bioshock System Shock 2 is quite straightforward.
That's what she said.
Mm. So yeah, there you go. Spiritual successor. Not as in-depth as some of the other trivia ones we've had, but quite a simple one.
That's why it was a nice little round. I think you think too much about some of them. Sometimes a nice little trivia round's all we need. You don't have to try and catch us out.
Well done. So let's close this turkey out.
Oh.
Da, 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 da. I'll tell you now, mate, Clair Obscur is great.
I went more Yorkshire as that one went on.
I've noticed your words do linger on for quite a long
it's
time.
The ear sound, it's a Macam thing. It's the ear. It's, the, it's like the ear
bends.
Sound. Bends. It's the ear sound. The elongating the Macam accent.
Great.
Did you like my picture of Benz the other day? That sounds
yes.
wrong. That sounds
it
wrong.
Was, it was a laugh.
Yeah. In the just to quantify that, because I've just said, did you like me picture of Benz I sent you? What I meant was in the obviously Boxy takes a piss at the fact that I say Benz all the time, but I wanted to show him that it was a local colloquialism rather than just me saying it. In the Sunderland shop, I went to buy Sunderland shirts, which they didn't have. They only had the size medium, which would look like skin tight painted on me, or 5XL, which was like a wigwam. I mentioned this on stream, and I don't know whether you can say a wigwam anymore, but I've said it, so fuck it. And instead of having kids on the section where all the kids' tops are, it says Benz. So I took a photo and I sent it.
Very cute.
Lovely. Anyway, let's move on. Talking of cuteness and nostalgia-esque thoughts. This week, what we thought we'd do is just go over some nostalgic gaming times in our life. Because sometimes the world is full of shit. And it's just nice to hear a nice story about how there was a nice time with video games in our lives. Now, I've thought, and by the way, I do really want people to put comments down for this one of nostalgic times they can really remember in their life, because I just, this is something for me that I love to hear these types of stories and stuff that people have. And for me, I always find, do you have this Boxy? I don't know whether it's a short-term memory thing or that. I can't remember loads of my childhood. Like, there's certain snippets I can push. Oh, I remember this, I remember that. And I know for a fact I've been gaming since I was like 5 or so like that. But I couldn't remember loads and loads of moments. So I've came up with 2 moments that I really fondly remember. Emily, did you have Boxy?
Yeah, 2. It's weird, really, because as you say, I don't remember the ins and outs of when things happened, but I can remember playing the game, and then that kind of takes me to that time period where it's like, okay, I remember playing that. So that came out in this year. So I must have been this old. And that's when all this stuff was going on. So it acts as a nice little time placer for life, I think, when you remember the games you played.
Definitely. Do you want to start us off then, Boxy?
Yeah, I'll go for a really obvious one because I'm sure this is up there for a lot of people. So I had my Super Nintendo for many years. And so engrossed in 16-bit, that was all I knew. That was all I was familiar with. And then for my birthday, I got a Nintendo 64. And I was like, what is this? This new thing that I've got, which is now going to let me play the new era of gaming. And I had Super Mario 64. And when I say it blew my mind what that game did and what it achieved compared to what I've been used to. And just walking around the gardens of Peach's Castle, in the first instance, when you pop out the tank and you can just run around the trees, go swimming, jump around, just fuck about, look at the cannon that's got the grate over it and thinking, oh my God, well, how do I get that open? Just so many wonderful secrets in that game. And then going into the castle and thinking, well, what am I supposed to do here? And that was a real thought. Like, what am I supposed to do? Because everything before then was just 2D-based levels. I mean, you know, there was Star Fox and things, which was 3D-based, but it was a very linear set of levels. So just having this open place where you had to figure out what to do was just so unheard of. And then going into this room and seeing this gigantic painting and then reading one of the signs and saying, try jumping into it. And you're like, oh my God, this is revolutionary. Like, life is never going to be the same again. And I still get that playing that game. And when they did the Switch ports of it, when they did Mario 3D All-Stars, excuse me, I was transported straight back again. Just that kind of wonder, that childlike amazement of shit, gaming is fantastic and I'm in this for the long haul.
Yeah, I had a very similar sort of step up because I went from Mega Drive, but I went to N64 as well, and I remember playing Super Mario 64 and just thinking, Christ, this is amazing. That and then like Zelda, playing Zelda for the first time. I never played a Zelda game before then. because I never really played a Mario game before Super Mario 64, because I'd been Sonic, I'd been Mega Drive, so it was the first time I was experiencing the franchise as well as the games, and it was just, I mean, we do obviously get a lot of big technological advances in systems now, but you will never get the step up that we used to get from like 16 to 32, 32 to 64. You're never going to get that step up. It was just revolution, blew your mind. Like now I know, it's like, oh well, you've got an SSD now, so you can load things at the same time, and it's like, yeah, but that doesn't hit as much as going from 2D sprites to a full 3D open world. Like, it's just unbelievable.
It was crazy. And I was reading about what we can expect from the next generation up, and this journalist was saying that most people will not be able to tell the difference between a PS5 and a PS6 game. Yeah. And that's kind of where we are at the moment. Mm-hmm. And you think, yes, the step up from PS1 to PS2 was huge as well. PS2 to PS3, pretty significant. PS3 to PS4, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Last generation, barely anything, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So just that leap is just so unheard of now. So that's what makes it special, games like that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what makes you remember them. For me, my first one is more like a time period. Let's transport you back, Boxy. It's summer of 1997. How old was we, Boxy Arty?
I was six.
6 years old. I was about 10 years old or so. And it was the summer holidays, and I think it was one of the first summer holidays. I spent quite a bit of time at home. I used to spend like time at my nana's all the time. And I did have a few friends where I lived around at that point, but it wasn't at the point where I'd made like a bigger group of friends, and I used to go out all the time. And I can remember that full summer playing through Tomb Raider 2. And it was on my own, and I was too young really to be tackling that type of stuff. And like when I'm transported back now, I can remember the seat. I had this silver 3-CD player that would play the through the CD, then like transfer around, go on the next one. And I think it was like there's a purple and orange one, Smash Hits 97 or something. There was like a bright yellow one, which is like the Summer Hits 96 or 97. And I always look for those CDs, because I could probably tell you the order of the songs off them, because I just sat engrossed in that game, loving life and loving being, I know it sounds weird, but like being on my own and just enjoying it and spending that time. And that summer, just, I think it's why Tomb Raider is a real big place in my sort of heart at the minute now, is because that was like revolutionary for me. If you think 97... Yeah. Was around the time the N64 was there.
95,
so a couple of years after. So the PS2s and that hadn't came out yet. But because I had a PC and my family's had PCs and stuff like that, I was playing like Mario 64 and stuff like that on my N64. But then I have like Tomb Raider 2 with the challenge, and at the time how realistic the cutscenes and stuff were, I was just like, oh, I just love this and working my way through, and gaming really sort of awakened then for us. Because before then, obviously, I'd love gaming. I'd loved Sonic, and I'd loved all the games that I used to play back on the Mega Drive. But like, they weren't big, long, meaningful, get-you-involved games, if you know what I mean. Like, I'll probably talk about the summer afterwards, where it was Final Fantasy VII, make the sound, came out, and I played that all summer at my nana and granddad's, and it was that thing of, oh, these games just are so much more now than what they used to be. And I just remember really fondly sitting in my bedroom, playing that game, music on, and it just being like an awesome time in life, and it just was really cool, man, really cool.
Sounds good. And I used to, I had all this, now that's what I call music, CDs as well. I had Five Greatest Hits, and that was my jam back in the day. I used to love the boy band Five. I even saw Steps live back in the day.
Back in the day, you have a very predictable music taste. Well, not really, if you're a jazz musician. Is that where you got your love from jazz? Was it Steps?
Their version of Tragedy really awakens the pentatonic scales, you know. That's a really good one. So the next one, I had a few moments where I thought I could talk about breaking through the wall in Dark Souls, but I've already spoken about that quite a lot. Did you ever discover the super password in Crash Bandicoot?
I didn't really play Crash Bandicoot because I was N64 and PC.
Right, okay.
So I've played it retrospectively, but at the time, I didn't really play it.
So cheat codes was always a thing. But I remember getting PlayStation Power UK or whatever the magazine was at the time, and they leaked this humongous password, which basically unlocked everything for you in the game. It gave you 100% completion just there and then.
Yeah.
And it was like a 3-line password. It was flipping huge. And Crash Bandicoot 1 is a pretty difficult game, if you remember. So discovering that as a kid felt like you had just been given NASA codes, you know. It was such a weird feeling of like, wow, I've just completed the game and I haven't bloody done anything. But you could go back to the game and just play all the levels that you couldn't get to before. So that was one of them. But the one I landed on was, I was in town and I went into Curry's and there was a demonstration going on, which literally had a full crowd of people around it, about 20 people. And it was for the iToy.
Right.
Do you remember iToy?
Yeah.
And it was the ninja game where you're batting ninjas away and it shows you on the screen. For those who don't know, iToy was like, I don't know, the first step into VR, I guess. Right, well, it, like, it put you in the game and it detected movements.
It's like,
and
it's the original Kinect, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a better one to go down. And it works surprisingly well for how old it was. And I was just so engrossed with that. So I asked for that for my birthday and I got the set with the game. And I think there's just so much in that game that just sticks with you, because there's the opening introduction tutorial message, which is read by a really old man. And it has an old granny who's doing all the movements. And I can literally remember that word for word. And then when you do the window washing game, it's when I'm cleaning windows.
Yeah.
Wishy-washy. Yeah, when I'm cleaning windows. So just loads of things stood out in that game for me. And I did pull it out not that long ago, and it still works surprisingly well. Probably better than the Kinect, I would argue. And then they did a few more games. They did iToy Play 2 and iToy Play 3, which had some really good ideas. But I think just that first one, yeah, it was a tech demo. But it was like the Wii Sports, you know, it just got everybody involved, and everyone had fun with it. And playing that in my living room with my brother and my sister and the parents every now and then was just a right laugh.
Yeah.
So,
I used to cheat on Wishy Washy.
It did actually tell you at the start of the game, says, look, you can cheat so easily by just standing close to the camera.
And just wipe your thumb across like the camera,
like
really close. I used to do it all the time. I was just so too competitive. With no one, I'm an only child. I don't know who I was trying to beat, but we beat them. And I remember that fondly because I used to watch old George Formby movies with me nana. And then obviously as soon as George Formby's in a PlayStation 2 game, I was like, Christ, this is my world coming together. It was awesome. I think I had like Sega Superstars or something, had an iToy game and stuff as well. Okay. I've got quite a few there now. There's actually like an iToy chat, and when the network connector came out, they tried to make it so you could have like basically Zoom back when the PlayStation 2 came out. So they were trying real things. Again, I think just a bit too early. I think if it came out a couple of years later and the tech was a little bit more there. But like you say,
Didn't they do iToy Pets? iToy Pets or something like that?
They might have.
Yeah.
I can't remember. They probably had a few different games there. But I honestly, I have fonder memories with the iToy than the Kinect. You know, the Kinect's supposed to be the sort of better hardware. It probably technically is, but it just, at the time, it was awesome. Anyway, my last one is where my love for point-and-click games started. So back when I was a kid, my uncle and some of my family used to live down in Birmingham, just outside in Walsall. And we used to go down all the time. We used to go all the time to sort of spend time, Christmases, birthdays, New Year's and stuff there. So I was really close to my cousin, who was only a year younger than me. She still is only a year younger than me. I don't know what I'm saying was. And she more like a sister to me, because obviously, although she lived far away, we spent a lot of time together, holidays together all the time. Anyway, they had, I at this time had like a Mega Drive and stuff. They still had like an Amiga. It was an Amiga or a C64 or whatever, Spectrum, whatever it was. and they had the original Monkey Island. Now, I'd never sort of played any games like this before. I played 2D platformers on the Mega Drive. So going to play this game, it was completely different. And at the time, I'll have been a really young kid. And I can remember we went down for like, I don't know, it was a week or a long weekend. And we were, we started this game, me and my cousin, and we played through it. And it was so hard for our age, but I absolutely loved it. I just thought it was absolutely amazing. And we kept getting stuck. And then we found out that in the local worker men's club, which we used to go to every night with our families, there was a guy who was older and had beat the game. And we called him the Monkey Island Man. And we'd play through, on this week that we were down visiting family, we played through the game all day until we got stuck, didn't know what we were doing. We'd write down, these are the things we've got, this is where we're stuck, blah, 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 this is what thing we need to do. And I would go to the club. And my parents must have thought, oh, that's amazing, the Ben wants to go to the worker men's club. And we'd go down on a night and would like look for him and harass him, like, this is what we've gone, what do we need to do next? And he'd give us clues how to get through. And I can never remember in my head whether we beat it down there, because he eventually got it, the Windows 95 version, that was like obviously a little bit done up and the music was digitized or whatever they called it back then. And so I know I'd completed it early, but I can't remember whether we completed it that time. But it was just such a good time playing through this game with my cousin and learning it. And to the point where I'm a big football fan, a big Sunderland fan, Premier League, season ticket hold for ages and stuff. And when we were down there, we were down to go to a Sunderland match at the time, Sunderland versus Tranmere. And if Sunderland won, we got promoted. I think it was the first time we got promoted to the Premier League. So this will be 95, 96. And I pretended I was poorly and couldn't go to the match, so I could stay back at my cousin's house and me and her could play the game. And Sunderland won, and there was a pitch invasion, and my dad had loads of pictures with the players on the pitch and stuff like that. And I really, at the time, wasn't bothered. I was like, I don't care. I'm really enjoying this.
You're a gamer at heart.
Exactly. And that just sits with me as well, just as an awesome moment. So, another time I remember fondly. And like I say, I only remember the dates because I'm knowing Sunderland got promoted, what kit we're wearing because of the photos that we've got. And that's what helps me sort of work where it is. So, awesome times.
Yeah, harking back to those memories of when we were children. And because I was, you know, younger, for me it was, we would wake up in the morning, watch Dig It.
Yeah.
Play Mario Kart 64 or something, and then we'd watch SMTV,
yeah,
which had Recess and all that kind of thing on it.
Yeah,
good times. That's when the mornings seemed to go on forever.
Yeah,
back
yeah.
In those days.
Time was the 6 weeks holidays was like years, decades. Like it's just amazing times. Anyway, let's stop waxing lyrical. In the comments, let us know what your big nostalgia stories. I'd love to read a couple. But let's get back to the last part of the show, Rockbusters. Now, our clue last week was Sunday service always changes him. Boxy, did you manage to get this one?
I did. This one was surprisingly easy.
I did say it was an easier one.
Yeah. So first of all, I went down churchy transform sort of route. But another word for Sunday service, mass.
It is indeed.
Useless priests can't say mass, Father. It's Father Ted reference. It's Mass Effect.
It is Mass Effect. Sunday service always changes him. Mass. It's a Mass's effect. Mass Effect. Obvious. Now, the next one, I don't know whether people get angry at us for. I'll say the clue and you can tell us what you think, Boxy.
Go for it.
When they were making The Crow, Brandon said it was going to happen.
Okay.
See the look on your.
So you're implying because he got shot in that film.
Well, I'm just gonna say, I'm not gonna say anything about it, because when I go off on one, it's normally when I say things, and this is a sensitive one. So when they were making The Crow, Brandon said it was going to happen. When they were making The Crow, Brandon said it was going to happen.
So I think Lee is in there somewhere.
I give you no clues now. This is the only reason people re-listen to a podcast. It's not the bullshit for the last 40, 50 minutes. It is the Rockbusters, plain and simple. So, on that note, thank you very much for joining us for episode that puts us in the rarefied air of the top 2% of podcasts in the world by sheer grit and determination. There's a lesson for life. If you're no good at something, just keep doing it. Eventually, you'll get an award. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you in the next one.
See you later.